pray for us. Several places we're going to read and try to help if we can. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I do want to say we appreciate you for the offering. May God bless you so much for it. And amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And over in Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. The north it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. In chapter 3, verse 1. Here's where I want to get to. To everything there is a season and a time. To every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Amen. Thank you, Brother Moore. And you may be seated if you want to. And I want to preach just a little while here and try to help youth rally revival. And somebody, when I get to preaching, you're going to say, "Well, I really don't think that's what you should have started meeting off with." And I really don't think that was the message for this service. But even before we left Virginia and headed this way, God began to deal with me. God began to speak to my heart, to try to speak to you. And I want to try to help if we can. But we live in a time, Brother Danny, where everything is absolutely fast-paced. Everything is just, I mean, it's got to be done. It's got to be done right now. It's been some time ago, I heard about drive-through dry cleaners. You drive through, hand them out the window, and go on down the road, come back later, and drive through and pick them up. Now, that's service. That's pretty fast-paced. Everything's kind of just right on down the line. And you buy a brand-new computer in about 6 months. It's out of date. You got to buy another one. Amen. Something faster, something to do it. We just purchased a new laptop, and my, that thing's quick. I mean, it's fast. And just in a few months, probably by the time Christmas is over, we'll be wishing we had a different one. Amen. So everything always has got a pace about it. Just got to try to get there quicker and get it done. Oh, yeah. But while we go about life's daily business, there is a clock in God's room that's ticking. Amen. There's a clock of time that just keeps going and keeps rolling and just keeps moving. Oh, yeah. And Peter puts it bluntly. Amen. Here, and he begins to tell us that the end of time is at hand. Amen. And in reading this, I feel like what Peter was saying was, he was saying, well, don't dally. It's later than you think. Amen. And that's what I want to preach for just a few minutes, if you'd help me preach. Don't dally. It's later than you think. Amen. Dally means to flirt playfully. Amen. Oh, yeah. To waste time. To dwell. To just spend time of ease and idleness and just waste time. I remember being in school. I got in trouble more times than one for wasting time. I couldn't get my work done for just wasting time. I had more homework than I deserved because of wasted time. And I'd come home and I didn't want to do it because I wanted to waste some more time. And all down through time, men just simply want to waste it all. Amen. Oh, we strive for the nice homes and the nice cars. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But when we take those things and place them in front of God, there's a problem because time is going and going. Amen. And the first problem that we have in this hour is we begin to flirt with this thing. We begin to flirt with the clock. And we begin to flirt with Brother Horn, the things that we think we've got time to deal with. But all the while, this thing's coming closer. All the while, the end is drawing near. Oh, yeah. We're living in a generation of people that says, well, I simply got plenty of time. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. Ecclesiastes 1, we read, it begins to explain to us that life is brief and life is frail. You want to make an enemy with a man, you go tell him that he's frail. Amen. Just walk up to him and say, you are just absolutely frail. Amen. Especially a man that's about 6'2 and maybe 250 pounds and tell him that he's frail. He'll look at you like you're crazy. But then if you proceed to tell him that he's just as frail at his best state, and we look at the children of men, and as soon as our life begins, as soon as we're born, the very minute that we take our breath, we begin to die. Amen. People look at it and say, oh, look at that precious baby. Look at that precious new life. Isn't it just wonderful? Got its whole life ahead of it. Yes, that's right. But at that very moment, that he takes his breath, he only begins to die. Oh, God, help us to realize that in this time and in this hour, we don't have time to waste it. Why? Because man, amen, again, as soon as we're born, we begin to die. We're carried away us with the flood. And we just pass the time and fall asleep. And all of a sudden, we're awakened by death, only to realize that our life is over and it's all gone. I'm preaching to you. Don't dally. It's later than you think. Don't waste time in this hour. You say, preacher, I'm young. I've got plenty of time. Oh, no. There's a clock that's ticking. There's a clock that's rolling. And there's an all-seeing God that's watching every move we make in this hour. Every move that we make is a God that's watching. Every moment counts. Every second counts. I mean, God's watching. And God's requiring of us His time. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, yeah. If we can only see how close the end is. Amen. Oh, God. Every time we step to the pulpit, every time we step to a microphone, every time we make our way to an altar, if we could only realize that this thing is just about over. Amen. But the problem that we have in this hour is people say, well, I believe I got time, and I believe I'll just see how close I can get and get to the world or the things that I enjoy and see if I can get close to them and still hang on to God. Well, in reality, you cannot do it. There's no way you can do it. I mean, you either love God or you don't love Him. Come on here. I mean, if you're saved, you're going to love Him. I said, if you're saved, you're going to love Him. I mean, it'll change everything about you. All the people today say, well, I'm just going to get as close as I can. And they'll take one step away and they say, well, I'm only just a step away. I can get back at any time I want to. But the end result is they finally get far enough away that they just can't get back. There's not enough time left for them to get back. But oh, I believe we need to get as close as we can to God. Amen. Amen. I've seen it. I've seen people in this hour just simply got to the place. They say, well, I got time. I'm going to go out here on the edge and just see how it all is. And I'm reminded of a story my dad told several times while he was preaching, of a man back in the old days that owned a chariot company. Needed a chariot driver and a wagon driver. So he began to put out an application list and had three men show up and want the job. So he interviewed the first man and he said, if I were to give you my chariot and a load, he said, I'd want to know how you're going to drive it around the edge of this cliff right here. And that first man wanting to impress the chariot, the carriage owner, he said, I'd drive it with both wheels right on the edge. And he said, I'd deliver the merchandise safely. The man said, thank you for your time. And the next man stands up there and he said, sure. He said, I must ask you, how would you drive my chariot, my carriage around this cliff with a load of merchandise? He said, sir, and he said, not wanting to be outdone by the first man, he said, I'd put one wheel on the top and one wheel hanging over the edge. And he said, I'd go all the way around. And he said, I'd deliver your merchandise safely. Third, he said, thank you for your time. Third man shows up and he said, sir, he said, I must know, how would you drive my chariot? How would you drive my wagon with a load of merchandise? He said, sir, he said, I'd drive it just as far away from that edge as I could get. He said, you're the man for the job. Come on here. We don't have time to be standing on the edge. You know why? That edge just might break off and we might fall into eternity. Come on here. I mean, don't dally in this hour. It's much later than we realize. I mean, oh, yes. Old men and women turn gray and bent with age. They'll say, young preacher boy, I've got plenty of time. Pastor friend, I've got plenty of time. But I want you to know it's later than we all realize. I mean, this thing's almost over. And what we do for God is the only thing that's going to matter in this world. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. God don't want us on the edge. The preacher don't want us on the edge. Mom and dad don't want us on the edge. Amen. Oh, yeah. It's not a popular message when you begin to preach and say, it's about over. It's about over. When you begin to tell people if you're going to live holy, you better live it now. Amen. If you're going to live separated, you better live it now. Oh, God. Hey, come on here. This world is full of preachers across the country that are just not telling the truth. But then on the other hand, Brother Morton Gibson, they're full of people, churches are full of preachers and people that will tell the truth and will live the truth. That's what God wants. He wants the truth. Amen. And He wants us to utilize the time that we have left. I mean, when we meet them on the street, when we see them on the job, when we see them in the marketplace, we must tell them Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. He's on His way.
Do you know Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you saved? He's coming after you. Are you ready? Oh, you say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. No, you might not be, but you might be the only one that can get to that one that you see every day. Tell them, say, hey, don't waste your time in this old rotten world. Come to God. Come to Christ and change your ways.
Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. I kind of feel out of place in saying, but I had several folks tell me when I was just a teenager, boy, you better make your mind up. You better get with it. Because it'll pass before you know it. You'll be an old man before you know it. This will come and that'll come. And I remember when I was about 13, 14 years old, I'd say, man, for the day when I get my driver's license. Man. For the day when I can sit down in the seat and drive and just do what I want to do. Go where I want to go. Well, I didn't realize that along with driving came gasoline and rubber on the wheels and insurance and payments and all sorts of things like that. All I could see was driving. And so I said, well, I just rushed it on up and finally turned 16. Realized all that responsibility, everything the way it was. Realized all about it. And time went on and I said something about getting married. Oh, it'll come. Just wait. Don't rush it. I said, oh, for the day when I can get married. Amen. Have a family of my own. Well, it came real quick. And I did not realize the responsibilities of a family until it came. Somebody said, don't rush it. But I did. It came quick enough. Time goes on. And here we are. I'm just 28 years old, almost gray-headed. I mean, you can't tell much of it probably. But there's a bunch of them in there. Amen. And, oh, yeah, but I said, hey, I got plenty of time. I'll just do what I want to do. But, oh, come on here. There was a call ringing in my heart that said you don't have as much time as you think you've got. If you're going to do something for God, you best do it now. Amen. Do it now. Do it now. I kind of feel out of place at being 28. Just to tell the young folks tonight that don't rush it. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Just don't waste any time. But make sure every move you make is the will of God. Now, I know that God gave us good sense. He didn't make us stupid. Come on here. I mean, little simple decisions we can make them. But when it comes to making a move, a real serious move that's going to affect us the rest of our life, we better be sure. Better be sure. Better be sure. And, in saying that, some older folks probably look at me and say, you just don't have a clue. You just don't have a clue. You just really don't understand. Well, I think I do. I think the Lord dealt with me, and I think He dealt with me right in this message. And to say that don't dally, it's later than you think. And just to cut the devil off at the pass, I don't think anybody here is doing it. Amen. Ain't throwing any stones. Ain't trying to put anything out. I just know the way God dealt with me. I can't see your heart. The pastor can't see your heart. The youth leader can't see your heart. Song leader can't see your heart. But God sees your heart. Come on here. God knows what's in the depths of it. God knows what the next move is down the road. God knows. I want you to know there's nothing in the world worth turning to. There's nothing out there that's worth it. You don't hide. Because the blessings of God and the glory of God outweighs it all. Who does the world turn to when they come to trouble? Who does the world turn to when they need
help. Oh, but for the blessed peace of every child of God to call on His name. I'm talking about He'll bring a victory. But we've got to trust Him and turn to Him and not waste our time. Hey, hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I just don't see no future in it. Well, I'll tell you something. The benefits are out of this world. Amen. I mean, they're out of this world. Oh, come on, Peter. Amen. Let's get in this thing. I said, let's get in this thing. Oh, come on here. I'm trying to stir us a little if I can. Let's get in this thing. Hey, this is not just something that we come to church for and when we leave we forget about it. Oh, come on here. This has got to be our life. Not just our job, but our life. Oh, come on here. I'd leave the job during the day and when I turn the key off in that old truck, I'd forget all about it. So it must not be our job. It must be our life. It must be what we live. It must be what we breathe. We must not waste our time for God. Oh, God. Help us, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We passed by graveyards and been to cemeteries and nearly every tombstone has got at least three things. Amen. Besides the name, it's got the day you were born and the date they died. That's pretty important, isn't it? I mean, I would think it would be. But we look at that and they say, wow, I wonder which of those dates was the most important. The day they were born or when they died and made history. It depended on who they was, you know. I mean, what was the neither one. But there's a gap in between them dates. From the time you were born, that mark starts moving. Amen. And what we do within that mark between those two dates is the only thing in this world that's ever going to matter. Oh, God, help us here. You say, preacher, why in the world do you preach like you do? Because there's a dash. I'm a running dash right now. I'm in the space between my birth date and my death date. Come on here. And what I do for God, what I preach to people, is what God's going to hold me accountable for. What I've told you, what I've preached to you, what God has dealt with me on. It's the only thing that's going to matter. President Bush don't care about me. Come on here. I mean, there's people all over the world don't even know my name. But God knows who I am. He knows who you are. You. He knows who you are. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Right now, that dash is moving. Right now, it's moving. But when it stops, that's it. Plug a CD in the CD player. You can start it. And you can stop it. And if you want to, you can go back and listen to it again. But when you die, you don't go back. That's it. You know that. You know that. And I just feel like preaching to you that way. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. I don't mean to be sound so negative. No, I'm telling you, I'd rather be preaching where we was running these aisles. I'd rather be preaching where we were shouting all over this place. I really would be. I really would be. But God dealt with me before we ever left. Oh, God. Don't dally. It's later than you think. Oh, come on here. We're living in a world that thinks they got it figured all out. Oh, God. Oh, God. It seems like just yesterday, we brought Bethany home from the hospital just as a baby. Oh, so precious. Still so precious. but oh, so tender, innocent. And this coming April, which is quite some time off, but it'll be here before you know it, that baby will be 5 years old. I mean, it's gone. It's hard to realize the importance of time when you're so young. Oh, come on here. And I'm not going to tell you I got it all figured out. I'm not going to tell you I got it all figured out. I don't have it. I don't claim to. But I know one thing, if I don't know anything else, I know that this thing is just about over. Just about over. We pick up this book, and I've heard people argue this point, that doctrine, this issue, that issue. And one side will wind up saying, well, I'm not going to argue, I just don't see it that way. It don't matter how we see it. It don't matter what our mind thinks about it. What matters is what that book says. That's what matters. I know that it's not popular. I know that as days go by and they turn into months and years, people don't want to hear about those things. They do not want to hear that. But I'm telling you, this book is going to stand when everything else is over, when time comes to a screeching halt, and the trumpet sounds, and judgment is here. Hey, I'm going to tell you, this book will stand and be our judge forever. Heard about a man had a dream, just dreamed that he'd died, went to hell. He's a preacher. Oh man, that'd be a nightmare for a preacher. That wouldn't be a dream, that'd be a nightmare. To say, oh, who was it, Sam? After I preached to others, I myself become a castaway. He said he remembered just walking down an old dark corridor. I'm just telling you how it was told to me. And so all at once he heard voices. He couldn't really make them out, so he just kept walking. Just kept walking real slow and quiet. Heard voices, and they got getting louder, louder, more audible. Finally, he rounded a corner, and he could tell that just around the next corner was where the voices were coming from, and he stopped. And we're going to jump in on the middle of a conversation that this man heard in this dream between the devil and some of his demons. And I'm just telling you. We jump right in, and we hear the devil saying, who will go and persuade men of the ruin of their souls? Next thing he heard was a demon piped up, and he said, hey, hey, I'll go. I'll persuade them there's no God. The devil roared. He said, no, he said, you foolish demon, that'll never work. About that same time, another demon piped up, and he said, hey. He said, I'm going on, persuade them there's no heaven. He said, oh, you foolish demon. That'll never work. They believe in heaven. They know there's a heaven. The next one came and he said, hey, I'll persuade them there's no hell. By this time, the devil was getting irate. He said, that'll never work. He said, they know there's a hell. They believe there's a hell. Amen. Oh, yeah. And the next one said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I've got the answer. He said, I will go and persuade men that they have plenty of time. And the devil said, yes, that's the answer. Just tell them that they've got plenty of time. That old preacher said he woke up and he changed every ounce of the way he preached. Come on here. He finally realized that it was just about over. And it's a trick of the devil to get you to think that you've got all the time in the world. But this thing's almost over.
God. It's about over. I mean, it's getting close. It's getting close. Getting close. Hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Oh, Jesus is coming. Oh, God. He's coming after church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. You waste time, you're going to have a wrinkle. Waste time long enough, you're going to get it dirty. Waste time long enough, you might as well not even put it on. Because you dally long enough, and it'll cost you. Amen. Going back to school, I remember dallying and dawdling time and wasting time, and teacher even sending notes home to my mother. Stephen Barrett. I mean, I didn't like to be called Stephen in school. I didn't like for my mother to call me that. But she did, especially when I'm in trouble. She wrote this teacher wrote this big note out. Stephen wastes time during class, does not pay attention, grades are failing. And she wanted my mother to get this, so she wrote signature and put two dots and drew a line. She wanted my mother to sign it and for me to take it back so that she'll know. She would know that my mother knew what was going on. Well, I got so many of those letters. Mom tried to tell me. And I got disciplined for it, but I didn't listen. I didn't pay attention. I said, I can get out of this. This ain't no big deal. So, my grades started failing. Instead of A's and B's and C's and D's, I brought two or three F's on. You get enough of them, you fail the class. Right? That's simple. That's pretty elementary. Well, I got one or two of them, and finally I realized, I said, well, it's about time to pull out of this. I'm going to have to straighten up here. So, I got a couple more of them, and one of those, I just signed my mother's signature myself. Well, the teacher, it passed the first time. Everything was fine. Everything was good. I said, well, I can do this right on. This ain't no big deal. Well, I got that second one. I said, well, sign it. No big deal. What was I thinking? There's a final report card at the end. Well, that second one, my mom, and I don't know if just a character trait of how we spelled our name, and when it come to those last two T's, mom would make a real fancy swoop across them T's. I forgot to do that. Teacher looked at me, and she looked at me. She said, okay, thank you. And I went and sat down thinking, breeze, it's over. Done it again. Yes. Next thing I knew, I was in the car with mom going to the school to talk to the teacher because of my failing grade. And oh, when my dad found out what I'd done, man, it was rough. Oh, it was bad. I mean, he took something that was very precious to me and destroyed it. He said, if you get the next one, you're going to have to earn it. It was a BB gun. That was the dearest thing to me right then. And I thought, he absolutely got rid of it. But guess what? That passed. That was in school. I straightened up and just barely slid by in that semester, just barely got by. I tightened up just in enough time to get through. That's when I was a child. I can't do God that way. You can't do God that way. Because right now, He's sending a note to your heart right now. He said, don't you waste no more time. Don't you dally no more. You better get serious with God. You better get serious with God. Oh, yeah, amen. Oh, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Get serious with God. You young folks may not come back tomorrow night. I don't know. But God dealt with me on this. I mean, God laid it on my heart. I don't know where you are. You may be on a mountain right now, but there may come a day when the devil comes to where you are and says, hey, look here. Now look. You've been doing this for quite a while, and nothing's changed. Them preachers have harped and clothesline preached on Jesus coming back. And yeah, he's coming back. Who knows when? But you got time. You just go ahead. You got time. And I'm telling you, he's got the slickest tongue. And if you ain't careful before daylight, he's got you talked into something. Oh, God. Man, I wish I could have helped you tonight. Amen. Oh, God. We've heard several times. Our young folks are the generation of tomorrow. They're the church of tomorrow. They're tomorrow's pastors. They're tomorrow's evangelists. And they're tomorrow's song leaders. And they're tomorrow's lay members and prayer warriors. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just a little worried. I didn't say I was worried about you and this church. I'm talking about this generation of young folks. I'm getting a little worried. Because they're trying to get just far enough away and still try to be a hold of God. Can't do it. Oh, God. What kind of churches would we have if we had pastors that grew up that way? Song leaders that grew up that way? Lay members that grew up that way because they had a pastor that was that way? Come on here. We'd have a church full of people that didn't realize the value of time. Amen. Don't dally. It's later than you think. Preached a revival in Texas and stayed in the evangelist quarters. We didn't have the trailer at that time and stayed in the evangelist quarters, and it was a fairly large church. And the evangelist quarters, you walked in the main door, turned left, went down the hall about four or five doors, and you went in a room, and that room didn't have no windows. Didn't have any windows at all. And the sunlight coming from the main door obviously didn't turn the corner. So we pulled in one evening kind of late, Brother Morton, and was tired. And we ate supper with the pastor and his wife, family, and was tired, just real tired. And I should have set a clock, but I didn't. But went in and laid down and fell asleep. And I'm telling you the truth. When I opened my eyes up and looked at the clock, the first thing it said was 11:30. And I'm thinking, oh man, I haven't been asleep but about an hour. I got on up and opened the door, and wow, man, it was daylight outside. I mean, it had been daylight for several hours. We slept all night long up until 11:30 the next day. What's your point? My point is, I had no sense of time. My eyes never opened. I couldn't visualize the time. I couldn't focus on the time. It was dark. The sun never woke me up. My mind had done drifted off into a slumber, into a sleep, and I didn't realize the time. I'm afraid in this hour there's so many people that's got into that slumber, sleeping condition, and the clock is ticking, and they cannot visualize all the time. And if we're not real careful, we're going to wake up to the sound of a trumpet, and by that time it'll be too late. Too late. Too late. You talking about apologizing. I apologize to that pastor, let me tell you. Amen. He said, don't worry about it. You're not the first one. I said, put a wind in that room, man. Amen. 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 Stand to your feet if you would. I hope something been said to help you tonight. That God has touched your heart. God has spoke to your heart and dealt with you and helped us to realize that it's almost over. Almost over. Don't look at me and say, preacher, I just don't like you. I don't like the way you are. I don't like the way you comb your hair. I personally, I don't either, but there's nothing else I can do with it. That's just the way it is. I just don't care much about you. That's fine. That's fine. But don't reject what this book says. Don't reject what this book says.
If you read it, he'll tell you it's about over. Brother Horn, it's about over. It's about over.